Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Now, this is going to be heavy, but it's going to be quick. It's going to be ripping a Band-Aid off. Not, again, because there's a purpose to it. And in the end, you'll see that purpose is uplifting. And if you will, we too will come to that place that we have got to start singing that song in our hearts. It is well. Whatever happens, it is well. God is in control. Amen? But even so, we're going to see what is it that we need to be doing during this time. Now, in doing that, something that we need to take note of, and before we even do that, the best thing for me to do is to pray. So if you would, pray with me. Father, we just thank You for this time. We just pray as we look into Your Word, we pray Your Word would have its way with us. Your Spirit would teach, minister, instruct, admonish, strengthen, encourage, and give us sight. Bless this time, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Bible is over 25% prophecy. Did you know that? Now, it's important not to be afraid of prophecy. The best, really, if you will, interpretation of prophecy is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus fulfilled close to over 300 prophecies in His first coming. We'll talk quickly about that. But there's still hundreds more that have not been fulfilled. And remember this, Jesus said that everything that is written in His Word shall be fulfilled, including prophecies. So with that, if you will, we do kind of have something here to go by, to look at, to gauge things as we go on. And that's good. Now remember too, is that Jesus criticized the religious rulers because they could not discern the times and the signs that they were living in. So you can read the sky, but you can't even tell what's going on right now. How it says in Isaiah that there would be healing, the blind, the lame, that the good word would be preached to the poor, that I would speak in parables. But even more so, is that almost Daniel nailed it on the day when he would arrive on a donkey. But understanding this too is that we need to be ready and watching because again, He preaches and He tells and He prophesies He's coming back. Amen? He shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. None will take His throne from Him. There will be no puzzle or question of who won the election. There is no election. He is the King, the rightful King. But see, He took the throne by really, if you will, by submission to His Father's will, that He did something for all of us. He became man. And He took the title deed, if you will, from Satan and said, no, I'll take that. And in saying that, we know we just celebrated Christmas that He came in flesh. That He clothed Himself. Now, what's interesting is, take note of this, is that in prophecy, a lot of times people want to just take it in context, and that's right to do. So don't misunderstand me. But Jesus, when He interpreted His prophecy, would pull it out. The apostles, too, would pull it out. So it's interesting and it's safe if you again take it all in its completeness. Comparing Scripture with Scripture. Not going way off. Not going to extremes because then you can get in problems and you can get in some bad teaching. Remember, the fulfillment of prophecy, if you will, is Christ. It's Him. It's all about Him. And if we keep our focus on Him, we can never go wrong. So we always have to look at prophecy again with eyes wide open, but also understanding that we don't know completely what's going to happen until it actually happens. But we still have good clues, and we have to keep our eyes. Paul put it this way. He said, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman intensifies, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Be ready. Now, in Genesis, it speaks of Jesus being born of a woman and also the seed of Abraham. Also from Judah. In 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, it says he'll be David's son. In Psalms, God's son. In Isaiah, he'd be virgin born. But also he is God. Micah, he'll be born in Bethlehem. Hosea says he'll be called out of Egypt. Zechariah presents him on a donkey. And sold for 30 pieces of silver. Isaiah speaks of his suffering. Zechariah in Psalms, his piercings. Daniel, his death. Psalm, Jonah, Hosea, others, his resurrection. So you see, it's scattered. But it all comes together. And as you read the Old Testament, yes, when you read the Old Testament, all of a sudden you'll be going half asleep, and then all of a sudden you'll come upon a passage and you go, "That's about Jesus," and you wake up. Truly, the whole Word is about Jesus. As wise men have said, if you really look, you'll find Jesus, excuse me, in every chapter of the Bible. Some have even said, if you look even harder, every passage. But it's about Him. It's all about Him. So knowing that, let us step back and let's look at the world as it is right now. Now, remember, God destroyed the world one time. You know the story. Not going to go deep into that, but what did the Lord see? He saw wickedness of man was great on the earth. That every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on earth. He was grieved in his heart. But he saved the family. He saved the man and his family. Why? Because he needed a family. Not only that, because Noah, again, was looking to the Lord. He was following the Lord. He was a righteous man. He was actually, if you will, witnessing to those as he was building the ark. But he had to have a family that turned into a tribe, that turned into a nation, so that the king could come through that nation, the Messiah. He also needed those people to write down the law and the words of the prophecies. All for you, all for me. But then we see later on that they start building something, a tower. And Genesis chapter 11 says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They had brick for stone and had asphalt for mortar. And they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth.'" Basically, what they were saying is this: we don't need God. We can do this ourselves. We don't need God to come to us. We can go to God. We have the ability if we work together. And to them and their mindset at that moment, they thought, we have the technology. We got brick, we got mortar, let's just build up. But see, God saw past this. God saw what was the intent of their heart. God already promised, "I won't destroy the earth again." So He knew it was time to scatter them. In fact, in God's words, He says this, "And the Lord said, 'Indeed, the people are one, and they have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. They'll think they can do everything and anything. This isn't good. So he separated them from language. Now, what we want to look at is things to be looking at and watching for in 2021. And some of it is frightful. I'm not going to lie to you. But remember, the king is coming, and we'll get back to that. But see, there's a push right now so different from the world has ever been, because there was the Roman Empire. But see, the Roman Empire was fragmented in such a way that, well, if you will, there was still places in the East, the Far East, and other places that Rome really wasn't a part of. But when we start talking about end time prophecy, we're talking about the whole world. We're talking about the globe. All humanity. Nobody left out. And so in saying this, we're beginning to see that form right before us. Well, we're in America. We never thought the UN was really anything to us. Now it's becoming a big issue. That there's so many in this country pushing for a union with the United Nations. A one world government. Being able to govern what people go because of the CO2 that's in the air, in the atmosphere. We have to keep that down. It's about climate change. It's about doing what's best for the earth. It's about depopulation. There's too many of us. The scary thing is, how do they decide to eliminate? Now, I'm not going to get into all those thoughts, but you're hearing all these things. So again, this makes us to perk our eyes and go, wait a minute, something's going on here. But not only that, but we understand something too. The Bible speaks of a one-world economy, a cashless society. Now, again, not going too deep into these things, because there's a lot I want to cover. But again, we're seeing this with technology, of how this could happen. And even Bill Gates has invested heavily into this cashless society with others. So a one world economy, but something else we're hearing a lot about is a one world religion. Toleration. We all got to get along. And see, we need this, again, under one world government, so that there's no hate speech. But who defines the hate speech? Who defines the morals? And again, we see as this global union comes, they're pushing God out. This has happened before. And God scattered them. But no, this is happening before our eyes. And again, I just want to encourage you, keep your eyes open. Watch. It's time to stop just looking at what's happening in our realm and see what's happening around us. Second thing I want to take note of is the persecution of Christians. See, for this global world to work, then everybody has to get on board. And the biggest, really, opponent to that is Christians. Right now, we are, if you will, being spoken of as evil in this country. That we're intolerant. That we don't care for the good of mankind. That we're not on board with them and their agenda. Now, is all their agenda bad? Please listen to me. If I didn't believe in God, if I didn't understand the Lord and His doings, if I had no hope beyond this life, then I have to tell you, I get it. See, to them, the ship is sinking. To them, they're thinking, what's going on with the world? It's shaking. So much stuff is happening right now, and we've got to fix it. And everybody has to get on board. But see, we see past that. We have an understanding beyond that. And we have a Lord that we are committed to. Which means when it contradicts what the Lord says, we're not in. I can't say that certain things are right. I can't just look away from abortion. I can't. It's not right. There is a God. And for me to follow Jesus Christ, I have to say, that's wrong. So don't make me say that's right when it's wrong. It's the same thing with this question of gender. God said in the beginning, I made male and female. God said that. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not sin in the world and there's confusion over that. I get that. But that's why Christ died. So, in saying that, there is the beginning of a persecution in this country, but you know what? It's been going on throughout the world for years. Just ask the people in China or Iran. Indonesia, Somalia, 2,200 Christians died in Somalia this past year. Did you hear that in the news? By Islam, Islamics, terrorists, targeting Christians. And that's what's happening throughout the world. But see, we're in this country and it's different. Or is it? How much longer will it be for us? Well, again, we look at the global world as it is, then we're in the way. But so are the Jews. The Jews are going back into their country. Why? Because they're writing on the wall. They've seen this picture before. Do you know in the LA riots, 75% of the businesses in LA that were destroyed, listen to this, were owned by Jews. Random? Come on, really? How about in New York when they were closing the parks around the Jewish communities? All the other parks were open. No, you Jews cannot congregate. How about in California where they keep saying the Jews and the Christians can't meet? Which brings us to another problem. It's just like many of those sheriffs and many of those people, police officers and stuff, they're asked to basically arrest or fine these people that are meeting and congregating together. But they won't do it. Because see, in California, they've also let out prisoners. Letting them out because, well, they don't want them to have COVID, so let's let them out. Do you see how hypocritical this is? How crazy? And yet again, let's keep our eyes open. This brings us to another point. Well, I keep missing this up, don't I? The world itself and worship of it, the climate, it's all, if you have any commercials, if you watch any television at all, you're going to see this. The world is falling apart. The whole system is going wacko. And they're afraid of it, but they also want to fix it. But what's interesting, as they worship the world, as it says like in Romans, and even in Revelation chapter 9, let me read you Revelation chapter 9. It says this, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed of these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor walk nor hear." Now don't misunderstand this and don't miss this. The worship of idols, if you will, always had to do with physicality, whether it be the rain, the sun, the oceans, fertility, the crops, everything is about the world around them. And they worship these demigods thinking that they would give them what they needed to survive. Or they were afraid of them. Also take note of this, that who exchanged the truth for God for a lie, worship and serve the creature or creation rather than the Creator who's blessed forever. Why? Because they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. The birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. Right now, it's all about the ecosystem. It's all about animals. Animals above people. Animals above babies. I love a dog just like another person. But I'm not going to put a dog's life over a child's life. I never will do that. Ever do that. But now we have people going to prison because they abuse their animals, which isn't right. Please don't misunderstand me. But then you have people that are aborting babies, and that's okay. This is crazy. But again, this is something to watch as we go forward. The worship of the world, and globalism is about world, climates, the ice caps, the spotted owl, the cockroach, the beetle. These are things that people will have protect, again, above thinking of mankind. And you, if you don't go along with their agenda, you need to be removed. For it's the good of mankind, these things. So we see persecution. We see, again, worshiping the world. But what a funny, interesting thing is during all this, we also see natural catastrophes. There's a big storm in Alaska, a big storm that's never hit there in years and years and years. Alaska. Now, you understand that storms, hurricanes come from the warm waters. The Pacific around North America, at least from California up, is cold water. That's why they don't get hurricanes. Oh, they get a lot of rain, torrential. But no, this has winds. Like a hurricane, if you will. No, not to the degree that they get on the East Coast, but still, it's a big storm. It's weird. All these earthquakes that keep happening. Some of them you hear about, some of you don't. Just recently, there's a certain island that had 400 earthquakes. Yeah, small tremors. This past year, over 100 earthquakes that were noticeable, sizable. Did you hear about those? It's constant. And it's interesting, again, because they think they can save that. They can do something about it. And a lot of this, they think, is climate change. But there's also other things that are happening in the atmosphere, and they think they can figure that out too. Well, the axis tilts a little further. They think it's tilting more. That true north has changed. 15 degrees, I think they said. So all these things that are happening around them, and they think they have the answers to it, which brings us to the next thing. In Daniel, it says this exactly. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal a book until the time of the end. Many shall go, run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase, or knowledge shall multiply. Do you know how much knowledge has been multiplying? It used to take 40 years and 20 years. Now it's like a year, a day. I mean, it just multiplies quickly. There's 4 quantum computers. I just told you what I know about them. They're supposed to be super duper fast. AI is just around the corner. Bill Gates thinks that he can shoot something in the air, in the sky, and help deflect a lot of the radiation and the ultraviolet rays that are coming down. What's that gonna do? I don't know! But they really think they have answers in science. Why is it that they just figured out a vaccine for COVID-19? But they still haven't figured out anything for cancer. It makes you think. Who's in control? But they actually think they are in control. Going back to the global, you have the World Economy Forum. You have all these rich people thinking they have the answers, and you and I don't. We need to be told what to do. When we can travel, when we cannot travel. Where to live. To own property or not to own property. Knowledge. Multiply. Next thing I want you to take notice of is the demonic activity that's happening around us. In Timothy it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith," we'll talk about that too, "giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And Jesus said, 'For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect.'" Now the reason I say this is because there's many in the church that are going to the occult. They're thinking that they can speak to the dead. They're thinking they can go to graveyards and get their power that they had of the Holy Spirit. But not just in the church, it's also in the world. We're finding out so many leaders have been into the occult. And I believe we're going to find out more and more about this. See, remember that the one that really is behind all this agenda is the one that we call with the horns. Don't ever forget this. It's time to wake up, folks. There's a spiritual battle going around us. It's going to intensify. Look into your families and pray over them. I'm not being an alarmist. I'm being one who is wise in these things, for I was a fool. Wake up. It's around us. And it's going to continue to accelerate. Because we know the one that is coming. And the one who's really behind it all. It's not these leaders pulling these strings. It's not the world. They're all fooled. Satan has an agenda. And more we're going to see activity of this as we go forward. Look out for that in 2020 or 2021. Which brings us to wickedness. Again, Paul says to Timothy this. He says, "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God." Peter says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." There's something else that's happening also in the church. We think we can play with the world and not be burned. In some ways, we've all been guilty of it, so this isn't finger pointing. It's about, again, keep your eyes open to these things. Because see, just as we talked about, there's a deception going on. And for so many years, the church has been in this culture, and the culture is changing. And with the culture, the church is changing with it. And in doing that, we're allowing certain things, being tolerant of those gray areas, thinking this isn't such a big deal. How many shows do you watch? And again, this is for me too, folks. We all grew up in this culture. We live in this culture. But how many shows do you watch and there's murder, there's violence, there's rape, there's cussing? I listened to one person just recently and they said, "You know, it's funny, I just never noticed how much cussing was in it until I was watching it with somebody else and I went, whoa! It's there! You're being desensitized if whether you knew it or not. And it's the enemy, and we've talked about this. Again though, watch this in 2021. Netflix just had something called The Cuties, and I know you heard about that, I'm not going to go in detail of that, but all of a sudden, this is acceptable? Girls twerking, girls dancing, provocative, and they're only, what, 7 to 10 years old? What is going on? This is okay? No, it's not okay. But see, again, it slipped under. All this stuff continually slips under. And the enemy will continue to do so. So again, watch these things in 2021. Next thing is, what we've already referred to, is lawlessness. We've seen a lot of that in 2020. But see, if they remove the police, then there's going to be even more lawlessness. And before, if I said that, if anybody said that, you'd say you're nuts. But see, you have to understand something, is the police are in the way too. And I didn't finish that thought. Because they're not going to police this stuff. No. They need a new police department that will govern this stuff, that they will fine you if you don't follow along. Not only that you can't buy or sell, but they'll fine you if you're not going along with the program. They need somebody else, maybe outside of the country, and it's already been rumored the UN should come in and help police us. They have no stake in this country. They don't care about the freedoms that you've enjoyed in this country. But as they let the prisoners out, as somebody has said, it's because they want to make room for those that aren't tolerant in the new system. Again, keeping our eyes wide open. Is all these things going to happen in 2021? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we're headed towards that because it says in Scripture that there will be lawlessness. And because the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he's taken out of the way. Now that's another thing that we'll talk about later, maybe. The other thing I want you to take familiar of is something that's happened this past year because of the elections, because of political parties. Is in your own household, maybe not yours particularly, but maybe you know of households. Of what? Of divisions. Jesus said it this way, "Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, so what? It's political? This is... No. I'm saying that this is just a precursor. This is nothing. This is political. I mean, you can separate politics from your faith. That's simple to do. But if you notice, in some families, this is a hot topic. I have to tell you, it's somewhat in my family. And I know others, it's even hotter. But what happens now if it's Christians are intolerant? They're actually encouraging people to, if you will, tell on others. I have to tell you, I was in a bookstore in Kansas City, and there was very few people in it. Now, I wear a mask, but to read, I have to have glasses, and I find sometimes if my glasses fog up. Well, it says one person per cove. And this cove was, if you will, about the size of that key right there. You can see it, or this key over there. It was big. Nobody was in there. Was in there. My glasses were fogging up. Look, made sure no one was there. I just went like this. Dropped it. So I was in there looking at books, and I noticed somebody coming in. I didn't even look. I noticed somebody coming in. I went like this with my mask. And started looking again, trying to get my glasses unfogged. I looked over, the person left. I went, oh, okay. So I took my mask off again. I'm by myself. These bookshelves are like 7 feet tall. I'm in a room by myself. All of a sudden, I'm in the very back, and the manager comes up. And I know it was directly from the person that just told on me. He walked in, and I didn't know who he was. I just saw somebody. Put back on my mask. He comes right up to me, goes, you weren't wearing your mask. Why not? I just said, oh, sometimes it fogs my glasses and no one was here. And he goes, well, there's somebody right on the other side of the bookcase. It was my wife because I was talking. That's a different story. So I said, oh, I'm sorry. So I put my mask on. Now, that's just a little story. It's not that big of a deal. I wear my mask. It's not a big deal. But it's the idea that somebody actually saw me have my mask off and put it on and then left and told on me, and somebody came and corrected me. And that's what's being encouraged more and more. Ratting out on people. George Soros. That's how he started making money. I don't know if you know this, but he's Jewish. And during the Holocaust, the Germans paid him to rat out other Jews. And soon it may come to our country happens everywhere else. It's for the good of mankind. Next thing I want you to take note of and watch out for is what we've already mentioned, apostasy. Having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. We've already touched on that. But it's pulling away from these things that we're talking about right now. Please understand, and I am going long, I've got to quick this up, so I'm going to make the comments shorter. But just understand that I'm just saying this because be aware of it. Be aware. Tenth thing I want you to, just really quick, is the Jews, Israel. Jews are going to Israel. You're noticing there's a lot of peace treaties. Well, the Antichrist comes and confirms a peace treaty. Doesn't make one, he confirms. So these peace treaties are being made. Very interesting. The other thing take note of is in Israel, there's Turkey, there's Iran, and there's Russia. Those are the big three in Ezekiel that come against Israel from the north. Okay? They are talking. Peace treaties being made. Unwalled cities, they say. And God says, I take you with a hook to bring you down. And then God brings them down. Iran wants the nuclear power so bad. And can you imagine them with a nuclear weapon? Nobody would be safe. Now again, you're going, huh! Kind of scares me. Why are you going with this? It's very simply, just like I said in the beginning of this, keep your eyes up and looking. In fact, Jesus puts it this way. If you want to turn with me to Luke 21, and I'll conclude with this quickly, I promise. I left my water over there. Now I was going to go into something different, but I won't. But let's just stick with this. Okay, I'm going to just start. I'm going to skip some of these verses. But look at verse 27. 21, 27 of Luke. Then they will seek the Son of Man. They will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Stop. Hey, he wins. Okay, he wins. Now, verse 28. When these things begin to happen, you can look what he's talking about, but you have to understand, he is speaking to, if you will, mostly the Jews here. The other scriptures we're pulling in is also end time stuff. We're looking at the broad picture. When you see these things begin to happen, he says, look up. I love this part. Lift your heads. You just picture that? We look around, we go, man, there's nothing to be happy about here. There's nothing encouraging here. The Lord says, no, no. It's just like taking a child. Have you ever had a child? He's just weeping and just tired and he just feels so remorseful at doing something. And you're like, oh, that's good. But he just goes like that. So then you just grab his face and you lift him up and look him right in the eye. So you're forgiven. Or it's going to be okay. That's what the picture is here. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your face. Sit up. Why? Because the King is coming. Because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Surely I say to you, this generation by no means will pass away till all these things take place. Stop. Do I know when Jesus is coming back? No, I don't. That's not the point of this message. The point of this message is, hey, these things are happening. Be ready. Watch. Don't get depressed. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distraught. It just reveals time's getting short. See, never in the history of mankind since the Tower of Babel have these things been so close to coming true, to fruition. Never. So assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The church right now being separated, they have found and done a study. They thought that the people, the Christians, would go home and they would get more into their word. Do you know that is the opposite? They're finding that more Christians are not getting into the word. Stay in the word. It's His promises. He said that these things shall be fulfilled. It's important to understand what He has said to encourage us that the King is coming and the King is in control. The King is in charge. And the King has promised you and me that you are my Father's hand and you are in my hand. Nothing can snatch you out of my hand. But see, if we're not encouraging ourselves by looking into the Word or coming and teaching together the Word, then we get discouraged. Our eyes look down, nothing's going right. I mean, right now I know that you have kids and you're worried about your kids. I have grandkids. I have kids. I get it. But again, we stop and say, no, He is in control. He's got His hand on the thermostat. Nothing can happen to you without Him allowing it. This world is not your own. It's becoming a reality to all of us. Be ready. You're a child of the King. He shall reign forever and ever. Did we mention that? So we're ready. We're in His Word. But take heed to yourselves, verse 34, lest your hearts be weighed down. All this stuff that's going on. And so how do you numb it? With drunkenness and carousing. Carousing is partying. Just party hardy, dude. It's all about just have fun, man. That's what life's about anyway, right? Drown your miseries. Enjoy the things around you, man. Tomorrow we die. Eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. Lord saying, no. Don't party. Don't get drunk. Don't get hooked and sucked in with the cares of this life. See, that's what's happening for all of us. I mean, we're all thinking this. There's a good chance your money is going to be worth less. You know that, right? Everybody's talking about inflation. What do you do? People are talking about you're going to be losing your jobs. What do you do? We're all thinking these things. But again, who says He'll take care of us? Remember He said, look at the sparrows. Remember He looked at the fields. I'll take care of you. Do you trust me? And that's what's important for us to come together and say, hey, He's got you. He's got you. He's going to see you through this. You may have a song you have to sing that it is well with your soul, but you are going to know deep down inside, He's got you. He's got you. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But you watch, therefore, and be watching. Oh, they're taking my house away. Jesus, you're coming back soon. They said, if I don't get this vaccination, I can't shop. And you're saying, well, is that a big deal? No, again, you know what? I'm hearing it from both sides, Christians. It's something you're going to have to go before the Lord. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. But some people feel very powerfully not to do this because it messes with your DNA. And that just scares them. I get it. So again, that's up to you. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. You pray. God will give you peace about it. But to those that decide not to, they're saying that you won't be able to shop at Walmart or other places. You have to have a card or something. God will take care of you. Pray always. Lord, I know you got me. I'm scared. I don't know what's coming, Lord. I'm worried. I'm worried about how am I going to feed my family? What am I going to do? I'm old. I can't go back to work doing physical stuff. It'll kill me. How am I going to feed? How am I going to take care? They're talking about closing down Christian schools because, again, it's against the homosexual agenda. You know that? That's what they're trying to push. It's hate speech. They're teaching them hate. The government wants to teach the kids. The government wants the parents to be less involved in the families. At least I should say the left. And that scares us. But who's in charge? Who's the king? And whose communication do we need to be in constantly? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds on Christ. See, really, this should be good news, because he says this, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things." That will come to pass. Why would Jesus say that? And stand before the Son of Man. Gang, I believe this with all my heart. And I'm not saying that because I was indoctrinated with a certain scripture. No. I've labored over the Word of God all my life. Do I know it perfectly? I don't. But I've learned something. One thing is that God has not pointed us to wrath. God will not allow His righteous ones to go through the tribulation. There's examples of this in Scripture. There's examples of this also with a wedding. There's just so many examples, and there's Scriptures. There's more than one, trust me, but I'll just give you a couple of them. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writing says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." In 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Revelation 3:10 says, "Because you have kept my command to preserve, to watch, to be in my word, to pray, to believe what I said to you, and be in obedience, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." As we see these things happen, as it becomes even more, if you will, turmoil, more fearful to the world, that we as believers trust that God has His hand on the thermostat, and just as He told His disciples and as Paul told the Thessalonians, we will meet Him in the air. The second coming is He comes to the earth. And He says, "Where I am, you shall be also." Now, whether you believe that or not, I just challenge you to look in the Word. But also see the things that are happening and completely and ultimately watch. Be in the Word. Pray. Trust. But be wise. Keep your eyes open. The last thing I want to say to you, and it is late, I'm sorry, is the enemy is active. And those little things that we do that we think are okay, they're magnified. Because He wants each one of us to stumble and fall from our faith. He wants to take as many with Him as He can. Because like it says in Revelation, He knows His time is limited. Did I say the King was coming? And he will reign forever and ever and ever. And every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Everyone will worship. For he is God. And he's our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for these truths. But we just pray, Lord, help us to be men and women that are watchers. To be wise with the things that are happening around us. To be trusting that you have this, Lord. You have us. And to keep, Lord, ourselves from anxious thoughts and fears. Our lives are yours. Lord, our desire is to draw closer to you. Our desire is to really, truly live like we have been crucified with you. And that now our lives are lives that are lived in and through you. By the power of your Spirit in our lives, Lord, help us to understand the times and the seasons. But help us also to look out to those that are drowning and are hurting, desiring to be saved. Help us, Lord, to be used by you to help others find the true reason for hope and life and love. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, and I do pray that our hearts are not downcasted, but our faces are lifted up, for truly the King is coming. And it's in His name we come before you. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.